we come to the talk we're for here. I mean, you're not here to listen to me. You're here to listen to Naoto Hiera. He has a nice talk title, Algorithm, Diversion. And when I read the abstract, I was really like, okay, this sounds interesting. It's something about neurodiversity and digital art, but I don't try to explain whatever this is about because this is his job. And so please welcome him with a big round of applause. Naoto, stage is yours.
Good evening. My name is Naoto Hiera. My talk's title is Algorithm Diversion. And this is the outline. No, I usually don't start with outline. In fact, my slides are made with my own program on processing, and this is an actual part of the code snippet. So it might crash, or it might behave weird, because I haven't tried with this resolution, but this is part of the performance or presentation. And I hope that this is a safe space, of course, but I just say it over and over, because then if I say it, then it's safe now. That I'm sure nobody's going to attack anyone else based on race or gender or whatever, but just to say it. Because it's about myself, and yeah, it always needs a bit of courage to talk about myself. Oh. This is actually part of my code. It's called Lorentz Attractor. It's stuck over there, but basically it's particle behavior based on a few equations. And although it's set equations, because of some how computer calculates, it won't converge and it makes this amazing shape. Or sometimes it's stuck at the top. I'm starting my talk with talking about autism because I'm on the autism spectrum, and how I work with art is heavily related to the fact of my neurodiversity. This is a picture I took from Wikipedia, and the caption is, "A young boy with autism who has arranged his toys in a row," which I really love. Just this text is amazing to me. And how he arranged it is amazing, and he's sleeping. Like everything is amazing in this photo, I think. I don't know what you know about autism spectrum. You might think people who are not good at communication, who are good at math, but sometimes not. That's probably the idea. I think it's partly true, but also it's not always true. And I found it's interesting to work on being autism or high functioning autism or whatever, and work with art, because sometimes people think that we don't have emotions or. Yeah, so it's not because art is about emotions, triggering others' emotions, autistic people cannot make good art, which sounds a bit logical, but it's not logical at all, because first of all, art is not really about emotions. Sometimes it's just shapes. Sometimes it's really irritating. And also, we do have emotions. It's just that we lack cognitive empathy, so that we have difficulty expressing our emotions. So right now, I don't know if I'm happy to be here, or I'm sad to be here, or I'm nervous, or I'm relaxed. I mean, people just, you can just say it. I can just say I'm happy to be here, to be invited. But also at the same time, then I start thinking, but I kind of regret that I accepted this invitation. Or I'm so nervous, but also I like to be on the stage to perform, so that makes a bit relaxing. So this weird thing is I think it really describes how autism is. And I knew about it when I was taking a dance workshop by choreographer Maria Hassabi and gallerist Jan Mott. They had this week-long workshop. It's a dance workshop. We were doing like really weird stuff, like walking, like 20 of us walking in a street, like super slow. And then we write about how we felt. And that was the key. Like, we always had to have a notebook. And we have to write from my own perspective how I felt this experience, which was really hard for me because I always observe shapes, numbers, or patterns. But it's hard to for me to say it was comfortable or uncomfortable, what I learned, even that's like so hard. Like, I can say at 2:50 I started walking, and then I at 3:45 I stopped walking, or like this exact things with numbers, it's really easy for me. In fact, in my diary I have all these numbers of the numbers of the time when I arrived at a specific place, and this has been my habit for the last 7 years. So I was talking about autism, and then yes, the notebook. It was really hard for me to write from my own perspective, and I looked at someone else's notebook, and he was really good at making like it was even not his perspective, but it's like persona he made up because he's an actor and he's really good at thinking about like this first person perspective and how he felt through this person, and which was like totally not possible to for me to do it. And then I started to think that I'm something wrong with my writing or perception. And then interestingly, after that workshop, I started working in a neuroscience institution, and then people told me about autism, and then I Googled it more and more, and then I found that I'm on the spectrum, but I don't have a proper diagnosis, so I shouldn't actually publicly say it, but then what's the benefit of having a diagnosis that doesn't really benefit myself, because I don't really get like a health insurance or whatever, like a support from the government, because there are quite a lot of high functioning autism people, and for low functioning autism people there are support, but for us it's because we can talk like other people, it's a bit weird, but we can talk, we can live by ourselves, so they think that we are normal. But anyways, I have my problem with my brain, and this is actually a photo of my brain, which is partly, it's half true and half false, because you cannot really take a photo of a brain unless you open my skull. I took an MRI of my brain, and I 3D printed it. I was really fortunate that I got the data, and I 3D printed, and this is a photo of my 3D printed brain. And I started working on tapestry work, which is actually based on the pattern of my brain. I want to talk about the tapestry or textile because it has quite a lot to do with the computation. If you look at the history, the punch card of the programming came from the Jacquard loom. These punch cards, the patterns, and then it became Fortran or whatever programming language as a punch card. But this history is really interesting, but for me it's more interesting to look at how we can translate one knowledge to another from like more not just a surface, like I don't say the punch card is only the surface of these two, this connection of these two things, but there must be something more, like something deeper between computation and, for example, tapestry, or I talk about other things, but so this is a program I wrote to generate tapestry pattern based on computer vision, some kind of analysis of my brain shape, and I made this automatically generate these patterns, and I did weaving by hand. It took like a month to do it, and this is not really finished yet. I mean, this one thing is finished, but I want to continue working on it and think about what's possible, like how I can translate the knowledge from computer programming, for example, to weaving or vice versa. The other thing, well, there are quite a lot of things that around programming I'm interested in, like merging together. And one thing is movement. I like to be on a stage, like now, and I like to dance. And if you look at the history, there's also something with dance and, let's say, notation. Not so much of a programming, but notation that builds the, for example, an algorithm. This is Laban notation, made in like 1920s. And basically, what he did is, I always find this figure really funny, but basically the idea is he assigned different symbols to each part of the body. By the way, this is from Wikipedia. So each part of the body has different symbols, and based on the height or directions, you could add some colors or like different feeling, and then you can describe the position or the direction of the movement. And with this, like it's like a musical notation, like in the time domain, you can have more notations and describe a dance movement or dance piece. But the idea is not to describe like a ballet movement, for example. It's just a one way of looking at the movement. And also, people, I haven't learned this notation, but people learned this notation can look at this score and do the movement, which is really interesting because it's not really about archiving the dance movement, but transforming the dance movement to something else. And you can potentially do some kind of, like run some kind of algorithm to morph it and play it again. Or like this gives like so many possibilities, but I think so many things have been done by John Cage and these amazing artists, so I wouldn't really propose something new here. The other relationship between movement and computation or geometry is, for example, Oskar Schlemmer. I think artists here, they are really tired of this Bauhaus thing this year. But yeah, I had a project supported by this part in the frame of Bauhaus and Goethe Institute and Bloomberg to work with choreographer Raphael Hillebrand and dancers from Hong Kong Academy for Performing Arts to create a 21st century version of Oskar Schlemmer. And I have a video. So basically, there's a video camera, which actually shows, it's actually shown here, is tracking, well, capturing the dancers, and we're using an algorithm or the library called OpenPose to track 10 dancers and visualizing it on the screen. And it's funny that, like, Schlemmer did the same thing without technology or technology, like analog technology, sticking these sticks on the body. But we did a really complex computation to track bodies and showing it here, which is not even like augmented, which is like on a flat screen, and you can see a bit delayed bodies moving in the screen with the lines. Okay. So that was like my interest with first one is tapestry, the second one was movement, and then, but also, like, I'm really interested in just these lines, like Schlemmer was interested back then on a stage, but I'm interested with the pixels or screens and how to show or choreograph these dots and lines. But this itself is not actually a new thing. Like, in like 21st century, we can download these amazing tools for computer graphics and make these things happen. But back in 1982, there was this program called TenPrint, which is just one line of code in BASIC. 10 is the address, and print character at the address of 205.5 plus random, which becomes either forward slash or backslash and go to 10, which is like a classical go-to loop. And if you run it, it shows forward slashes and backslashes just in a random sequence. And after a while, you can see interesting patterns show up. Well, this is a recreated version with processing. This is the processing. I use processing to create these slides, and I use this to make videos, or the video that I showed with the 21st century of stick dance, I used the processing to make it. Processing is made by Ben Fry and Casey Rez in 2001. And the idea of processing is to make coding easy. For example, if you want to show a triangle on a screen with OpenGL, like C language, you have to write all these lines, and this is just a part of the code, just to show a triangle. But it makes more sense to have a draw function and have triangle function. So this was like a revolutionary thing with processing, that you don't have to think about these crazy things about OpenGL, and you can just have triangle, ellipse, circle, rectangle to draw shapes, which actually shows a triangle with the same code. And I started drawing things like grids or like particles to make a star field. I'm really obsessed with sine waves and more sine waves. And also, I'm interested in using the code with other modalities, like I showed the movement, but for example, like text. And, oh, sorry, this was a different slide. I was doing this experiment to have a little bit of meditation every day and think about the shape in myself. And I was drawing shapes with handwriting or processing, and at the same time, I was doing some movement exercises, which is kind of funny to look at it now, because I was just recording whatever movements back then, and it was not really made for showing to other people, so it's really funny to see some screenshots from these movements. But these movements were like meant to describe the same shape as I drew in processing or with the handwriting, hand drawing. And then I was also interested in text or poem. And how I see poem is not always based on text, but often it's based on, like, it evokes like shapes or patterns, colors. So I started to like draw shapes that was evoked. And this is why I started this, is because there was an interesting workshop about machine learning where we were asked to categorize different poems, and it was really hard. Like, you can just categorize them based on the style or, I don't know, whatever emotion it triggers. But I decided to first convert them to a shape, and then based on these shapes, I can easily categorize them Is it a circle, or is it more square or triangle? And for example, this shape is more like a rectangle or like more like a grid. Other ones are like more like 3D shapes. I also collaborated with writer or dancer Janine Harrington to make this kind of interactive videos with text. Okay, so it was like going to like different directions, but now I want to go back a bit to the diversity part about programming. This is P5JS, which is a spin-off of Processing. And it's started by Lauren McCarthy in 2012. And the idea is to make processing like a creative coding environment, but on the web. Because processing, you still have to. It's really easy to use, but you still have to download the program, Processing IDE, and then you have to use that one. And you cannot easily share your program unless you take like a screenshot or screen recording of the video to put it on Instagram, for example. But if it's on the web, you can just send a link, and then everyone can see it. Or you can either use platforms like Open Processing, where you can just start writing your code with P5JS, and it's going to show up in a gallery, and people like each other's sketches, and even people fork your sketch to make something new based on your sketch. What is interesting about P5JS is its community. I'm going to read it. It's a bit long, but I mean, it's not long text, but this is the longest text in my slide. P5JS community statement. P5JS is a community interested in exploring the creation of art and design with technology. We are a community of and in solidarity with people from every gender identity and expression, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity, language, neurotype, size, ability, class, religion, culture, subculture, political opinion, age, skill level, occupation, and background. We acknowledge that not everyone has time, financial means, or capacity to actively participate, but we recognize and encourage involvement of all kinds. We facilitate and foster access and empowerment. We are all learners. We like these hashtags. No code snobs, because we value community over efficiency. New kid love, because we all started somewhere. Unassumed core, because we don't assume knowledge. And Black Lives Matter, because of course. So this is like a bit different direction from Processing, because Processing was still like lowering the barrier to start coding for everyone, but still it was more like a white man dominated based on this media art, old media art culture. But P5JS is explicitly breaking this thing and assuming that everyone is a learner. And for example, if you ask questions on GitHub, like, this doesn't work, usually in most of the projects, they will like just close your issue and they say, you know, just look at the document. But P5JS is quite different, has a different approach. For example, if people ask something on the issue, then they think that that means the documentation is not good enough, or they have to point them to the proper documentation and don't just kick them out. And that's the inclusion, and which I like about P5JS. And quite different from the past examples with lines and dots, I really like this example from Processing Community Day, Basel, made with P5JS, which I have this. If you go to their website, you can see the real-time version. And it's just a particle system. It's the same as doing dots and lines, but it shows the emojis of different people, and this really makes different. Like, I really think that the examples in Processing and example in P5JS is quite different in this aspect. And I said Processing Community Day Basel, but what is Processing Community Day? It started in 2017. Processing has quite long history as a programming language, but actually they only started like an official meetup in 2017. And that was the first Processing Community Day in Boston. And this year they started a worldwide movement so that people in different communities, they host their own chapter of Processing Community Day. And the nice thing is written here in the PCD organizer's kit. PCD is a day, blah, 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 to celebrate art, code, and diversity around the world. So it's not only about celebrating art and code, but it's about art, code, and diversity. So I was really interested in doing PCD, bringing that in Tokyo, because I was participated in Boston, and then I really thought that we have to do this in Japan, because I'm from Japan, and at that time I was not living in Japan, but I felt that I have to go there and I have to organize this thing. And in February, last February, it happened. There were three organizers, Yasuto and Ayumu and myself, and we had nearly 150 people coming to the event. We had keynotes, we had workshop. This one I particularly like it because it's hard to see it in the screen, but it was a workshop, introductory workshop in P5JS to draw flower patterns, which is really colorful. And also we had interesting lightning talks. For example, this one was about teaching grade four kids to write processing. And it is difficult, not just because of learning programming, but they don't know how to type to begin with. So he explained us like a different ways for them to type. Actually, he doesn't really introduce how to code like interactive programs, but just to start with this line commands or triangle commands so that you can draw something like a static image on the canvas, and then you can go to more complex examples. And we'll have a PCD Tokyo 2020 next February 1st. So if you happen to be in Japan, please check this out. And this cover image, we just made it with amazing artist Reona. She did these square, like this wave texture thing in the square, and Takao, he did tiling, and Chinyuri, she did post-editing of this thing with the logo. So it's really like a collaborative thing, and it's not like there's a guru in processing and everyone follows that person, but it's more about making a community and working together and finding something new. And also, I don't have a slide for this, but I organize a weekly meetup in Cologne right now, Creative Code Cologne, but the acronym is not good, so we call it Creative Code Köln, so CCK, every Thursday. So if you are in the area, please check that out. And in this PCD 2020, we will have a new session for live coding. Live coding can be interpreted in different ways, but for us, it's a performance. To be on the stage and write program and perform at the same time. And for example, this is a photo of Cody. I think they are based in New York City, and they make visuals and sound together at the same time with manipulating the code on the stage. And this is really also interesting community, this live coding, because it's still really a small community and it's really wide spread across the world, and there's no like hub right now, and which makes everyone, all the artists, really nomad and they know each other, they respect each other, and that makes really diverse community, which I really like. And I think I still have quite a lot of time, and I want to introduce you my website. This is an archive of sketches I'm making, and recently I started to write about Hydra. It's an online book. Well, book. I mean, I just started as an article. Hydra is a live coding environment, web-based, and you can make visuals really quickly. And if you open Hydra interface, you can start with the example. It shows up with the example, and then also you can just start from scratch, simple oscillator, and you can add modulation, and you can chain them, and it goes crazier and crazier. And this is really nice because I'm just now live coding and performing, and it's really nice to do it on the fly, and it goes like crazy and crazier. But because I'm interested in algorithm, I started to think about how to make this more systematic, like not just randomly like finding crazy patterns, but how can I make more like a theoretical understanding of this language, because this is really interesting. And by the way, Hydra is made by Olivia Jack. She's a really amazing artist from Colombia. Sometimes she's in Berlin, so you might happen to meet her. Okay, so the idea of this book is to start with basic textures and discuss like different filters and how to make it like a systematic way, or like understanding what is actually happening in the code, or like how is it these code interpreted, and why sometimes thing doesn't work, sometimes things work, like why, like this is my interest. Like my interest is often not about making pretty visuals, which is maybe not, which might be the reason why I'm not the great artist, that I'm not really focusing on the appearance, but I'm more interested in what is happening behind. But it's interesting to think about, for example, like if you start with square, it's okay. You can repeat the pattern, and you can layer them with a bit of offset. I actually don't know. You can make these patterns. And then what I proposed in my book is extending this idea to make a RGB pixel-like pattern, and also chaining this with another oscillator to make it really look like a low-resolution RGB LCD. Just paste it and run it. It works. I can add some animations. Adding here. So it's like also like a cookbook that you can just take these snippets and modify it. I try to explain what's behind Hydra, but if you're interested, please look at this online book. And I also have some sketches that are, maybe not this one, maybe this one. This is made with P5.js, and I took a code from P code, which is made by Akio Kubota and Yosuke Hayashi. And basically, this little line of code is evaluated into musical notes, which is kind of like really like an old synthesizer. But I added like P5JS, reactive visual, and you can also this. Yeah, you can do live code with this as well. It sounds really broken, but it's actually working properly. I mean, this is also a fun part of live code because it's not always about success. Like, you get like some weird results, and that might lead to a new like a discovery. But in this case of Hydra, I was like writing this online book to compensate this trial and error part by analyzing it. And I think both has to happen at the same time. Like, sometimes you need to really analyze it, but sometimes you just have to give it a try and see how it goes. Okay. So next, I want to go to another version of Hydra, which is also made by Olivia. It's called Pixel Jam. It's really amazing. I hope it runs here because it needs online connection. It's starting. Basically, Pixel Jam is a collaborative live coding environment, online live coding environment. You can add more things, but basically, if you, it's like a chat. You type your name, and I asked people to join around this time, but no one's here. Yeah, I should say hello from. So basically, the idea is someone modifies the buffer here, and then someone else edits here. I don't know what would be interesting. I can add colors, or oh, there's someone. What? I don't know these guys, but yeah, they just came at the right time. That's great. Yeah, I don't know like how to continue this talk because I was thinking about just starting to live code and like it's. I think it's really interesting to live code and talk about it. Oh, there's someone. That's great. Well, it's quite a lot of people. So maybe I can just let them play and I can talk through. I mean, this is really an amazing idea because live coding on the stage is already really amazing because you see people coding and it's like, in a way, it's more like intimate because you get the, you know, the process and it's, you just see the, like what's happening behind. And this is like so amazing because you can just like, you don't have to go to the live coding performance. You just have to sit on a couch at home and then you can code with others, and it becomes like really amazing performance. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I like this idea. Yeah, I don't know. Probably some of you is doing this, but you can just yeah modify. The code, and you can play with it. You can just add layer. And again, like shout out to Olivia Jack because she made this and she's maintaining all these things. She's just amazing. Yeah. But this is not really crazy yet. Oh no. But they're not like new people, right? They know how to do it. Like, if you don't know the syntax, it's like so hard to write. Like, okay, now I'm really, this is actually like, okay, I think this is really amazing performance or talk because like, now I don't know what's happening, but it's just like amazing. but that's something I wrote before. I think someone took from the history and wrote it. Yeah, I don't know. Like, is it possible to like do the Q and questions and this like simultaneously, or is it like so distracting? Or like, I just like to be like freestyle. But I think this place, I feel there's like a bit of a structure that doesn't allow me to freestyle too much. Yeah, or just I can just leave it like this and move on to the Q&A. I think that works.
Yeah, so big round of applause.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's when you do live demo things, which people can join in. This will happen at Congress. People will join in. They will find your code. They'll copy. They'll play around with it. They still have to learn. Yeah, there's a lot of errors. So now you have the chance to ask a question. We still have a bit of time. If you want to ask a question, please line up at the microphones. We have three of them, so you have the choice. And we have somebody at mic one. Please start.
Well, thank you so much for your talk. It was really, really inspiring. A very small question, and that is, how does that whole thing relate to the demo scene? Is there like, is that like the 2019 version of the 80s demo scene, or is that something completely new, or, you know?
Oh, like this live coding thing. Or
the live coding, as well as kind of the combination of visual coding and sound and all these things.
Yeah, I mean, this is nothing new. Like, people are doing this, like, quite, like, this has, like, really long history, and I think I really have to learn it. But I think it's just, oh, it's really blank. We just have to, like, keep reinventing, because as soon as it, like, there's, like, a saturation, like, this is, right now, it's really nice, but maybe after 10 years, like, only me and Olivia is, like, just doing this or something like that. And then we become kind of guru, and it becomes, like, really hard for other people to join this community, for example. And I think it's, we have to, like, keep, like, rebuilding and also noticing who's in the community. And, yeah, like, it has to, like, this metabolism or... yes, has to keep the community really healthy, which is, I think, really interesting and important. I don't know if that answers, but that's what I think about this P5JS or processing community day, or this live coding scene that is really interesting about, and it's not only about the aesthetics or the audiovisual thing.
Okay, question from mic number two.
Yes. Did you ever try to work with translation from dance notations, like the Laban square notations, and put them back into code, into these live coding environments, and then somehow create a feedback loop between this and maybe actual physical movement?
Not specifically with Laban notation, but I think that's really interesting idea. But I'm always a bit careful about doing this feedback loop, because as a concept, it's really interesting, like adding different things. But as soon as it gets really like too many components and you don't know what's affecting what, it's just become chaotic. And sometimes I was doing like machine learning to understand movement and how to relate to visual, and these things I've tried a bit, but then I started to think that my brain is more interesting than machine learning, so why not just think about, take one movement or take a shape and relate it to something else. And also I have a new project, upcoming web residency, so I'm gonna reside on web. To create online archive, so it's continuation of my archive, but making a bit more thinking about curating and doing exhibition of my work online, and then maybe do another exhibition of exhibition or exhibition of exhibition of exhibition, and breaking this current politics around galleries, museums, and how people sell artworks in a physical way. Sorry, I think it went somewhere else.
It's fine. We have a question from the internet. Please.
Is this working? Okay. What do you think is the easiest way to get started and getting ideas for programming something graphical with processing?
I think that's a really interesting question that... for me, I think I'm not a good example because I studied engineering and I already knew how to code. But I think it depends on like the level. Like if you already know programming, then it's easy to just look at examples on processing. Like if you download processing, you can it comes with examples, like a bunch of nice examples, and you can mix them, play with them, and to understand what you can do. But if you're new to programming, there's really amazing YouTube channel called The Coding Train by Daniel Schiffman, and I recommend you to watch this YouTube channel.
Microphone number one.
Thanks for the cool talk and the cool tools that you introduced. I was playing around with Hydra when you told us, so I missed the rest of the talk. But I have quite a stupid question. When you 3D printed your brain, what color did you choose?
That's super important, actually, because I didn't really choose the color because I was working at the university and I just sent the G-code to whatever available 3D printer, and it was light blue. And it turned out that I recently do my nails, and that's light blue, and I like this color now, and I also like my brain, and my printed brain.
We have one more question from the internet.
Did you manage to find other autistic people with similar interests through your art?
Sorry, can you say it again?
Did you manage to find other people on the autism spectrum with similar interests through your art?
Yes, I think this was really important for me because at first when I noticed that I'm autistic, I was really discouraged, like, maybe I shouldn't do art because I'm good at programming, but maybe this art thing is not, art is not my thing. But I met an artist who is working with brutal movements and autistic brutal movements, which I don't really understand, but she's really like positively analyzing, understanding the neurodiversity, and which I still don't know how she's managing to relate these art and neurodiversity, but I learned that it's possible. Like, it's not, yeah, it's possible. So at first I was really having difficult, hard time, like how to relate it. Like, first I was like interested in EEG, like brain waves, and somehow relate this because it's brain signals and I can do media art, like controlled with brain waves and blah, blah, blah. And then at one point I thought, okay, I should just do meditation and think about shapes and movements. And this is like already interesting way of connecting this neurodiversity and art or digital art. So yes, like there are not many artists, but for example, Erin Manning, she's teaching in Concordia University in Montreal. Her books are describing about art and autism, and I highly recommend her books.
Okay, I have a question for myself. That's a nice thing. I have also a chance to get a question out. Have you thought about doing something like this as an art installation at Congress, so that with like a short introduction or something that people can play around during Congress? I mean, we have a lot of art installations which are programmable in a way, and people love them, so.
Yes. Sorry, it was not refreshing, so I restarted it. Yes, like I'd love to do it, and please invite me. yes, like right now, like my portfolio is really scattered, and it doesn't. I honestly don't know what I'm doing, but yeah, this is what I made before, so it's not this person's creation. This is my code, anyways. No, but this is actually the important part, like remixing something, someone else's code, and doing something else. Sorry, going back to the question. Yes, I would love to do something this year. Like I was, it's first time here, and actually, it was really like short notice. Like yesterday, I was asked to give a talk. So yeah, I was not really prepared, but or maybe like tomorrow, maybe I can show something somewhere. Yeah, like maybe it's possible. Everything is possible.
And we have another question at microphone number two.
Yeah, well, during your talk, yeah, I saw that you have a lot of interest in dance movement and in creating these really weird visuals. I came up with the thought of how would it be to combine those both skills with a green screen, which weathermen use when, you know it. How would that be if you could block yourself out, or if someone else could, well, if you wear green, you could do an interactive programming and just green appears on the screen, you're away, or oh yeah, I mean you're blocked out, or you're
yes.
on the screen.
Just
an idea. My brain came up with that.
Yes. Thank you for that. I think I've done something similar, but it was not... We didn't have enough time to explore it, but I'd love to... Not this link. I'd love to work on it because I think I want to work more on the physicality of... and... Oh. What? Okay. Ah, okay. Sorry. Yeah, I want to like work with like a physicality and also about digital... thing. Like I think this is what you said.
Exactly.
It's not myself,
yes.
But I was working with a dancer, and yeah, like he was wearing something green and hiding inside the digital world. Yeah, I think there's like so many ways. I would say the next thing I really want to do is with my nails. I really want to have like a generative pattern nails, but I don't know how. Like. What technology I need, I really don't know. Like, I mean, technology, okay, like I just need a small display or something, but that's not the point, and I have to think about it.
Well, thank you.
But thanks for the suggestion.
We have another question. Microphone number one.
Thank you, and thank you for your talk. I was just interested, I mean, you mentioned Puto, and you talked about live coding, and I would really appreciate if you could think about like how you would draw a connection between Buto as a form of dance and live coding.
There's actually another artist, Joanna Chikau. She is working exactly on Buto movement. Well, like she studied Buto and she performs with her body and also live coding. And this one also, I really don't know much about the concept, but there are people working on it. And maybe one day I'm also interested in working in this topic. But Buto itself is like, I'm afraid to touch this topic because it seems like I have to study a lot about Buto, like about the history and yeah, like who's doing what and how I interpret Buto, because like I think there are too many artists who don't really know much about Buto, but they pretend that they know Buto, and I think the real Buto dancers are kind of tired of this. So, but I'm really interested in the idea of Buto, like for example, like. Imagining like a fish inside the body and move with it, like which is actually kind of related to the meditation idea that I had, that to think about the shape and visualize it, but not always with my movement.
Okay, thank you very much. We are running out of time, so we have to end this here. But thanks for your talk. Thanks for these amazing impressions. I hope we'll see more from your art at Congress, perhaps this time or next time. There's always a next time. And so also thanks for answering patiently all the questions. And please, another big round of applause for Naoto.